It's time for Let's Get Real with your host from Bob Richards & Associates, Bob Richards.
Bob Richards, how the heck are you?
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's great. You know, I love your theme music. I'm over here dancing.
It's got a nice bass line to it. That's what I like.
I know not only are you an exceptional realtor, you're also a bass player.
I am. Yes.
So what you're saying is that somebody buys a house from you, they're going to have a jam session with you on bass?
It very well could happen as a neighborhood mingle, and me and a band are in the backyard.
I'm excited.
Playing some tunes.
I'm excited about that. Well, I'm really glad that we're back together again today.
Thank you.
I think we've got a great show about, I know you're going to tell us some important factors that can impact the success of a real estate investment, be it residential, commercial, non-owner occupied, a vacation home or something like that. I know you're going to give us all the details. So why don't you give us some clues that to some of these factors that impact the success of a real estate investment, and are they different from residential to income producing and commercial?
Very good. Great questions, Michael, and I appreciate being able to address those. So, hey, folks, let's get real about this. Let's dive down and get into what this all means with regards to residential and commercial real estate as an investment. One of the other ones that we talk about is multifamily, duplex, triplex, fourplex, apartment complex, that kind of a thing. That can also be a factor in this discussion today. So what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is your hold time. Hold time is, are you buying this on a short-term basis, meaning 1 to 2 years, or is this a long-term hold, something that you expect to be owning for a number of years or decades? Is it something that's going to be in your portfolio for the majority of your life? Now, many people say, oh, that's absolutely not going anywhere. I'm going to keep it there. It's not, you know, I'm not moving it. And then 5 years later, oh, we got to move that. We got to sell that. Life happens. We've had some issues that have taken whatever life brings to them. So they have to adjust and pivot for that. But that's, again, a hold time. Another one that we talk about is risk tolerance. If you get into a certain stock that's very aggressive and could go up fast, and it can also just drop to zero fast, same kind of a thing can happen with a real estate investment. And so you have to understand, am I going to be okay if rents go down a little bit? Will I still sleep at night? Or am I going to have a tough time sleeping if that should happen? If you're going to have a tough time sleeping, or it's just going to get you a little bit on the anxious side of things, folks, don't do it. I mean, it's not worth the health and welfare of your life if you're finding that this risk tolerance is just eating you up alive financially, emotionally, and relationships with others. It just can really cripple your life. And so those are a couple of ones that a good start to mention to you.
Risk tolerance. Yeah, I've been there on more than one occasion.
We all have.
And I can tell you, it's not a good place to be.
Not always greener grass.
Yeah, it's like the old, so my payment is due here, and I have this much money now, and I won't get any new money until here. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No, absolutely not.
That is totally unfun.
Yeah.
All right. So we got short term versus long term, risk tolerance, which, you know, I want as little risk as I possibly can.
Yeah. Or the best return. I mean, the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah. I want the best return. Yes, the best return. Because like we talked about in our last podcast, you know, I've been watching that real estate investment show at 1 a.m. They're telling me I should get 10 to 15%. Maybe that's a month. Maybe I need to watch it again. You know?
Or take an extra sleeping pill so that you don't have to stay awake at night.
I've been here for 2 months. Maybe. Why haven't I made $100,000?
Right.
What is the
problem?
Oh, I can't believe it. So now, what about absentee versus a live-in place where I'm living, owner-occupied?
That can be very positive experience for you to be an absentee landlord. It could absolutely just drive you crazy because you can't look pet the grass, pet the side of the house. You can't be on site every day. You got to have somebody taking care of that for you. For instance, I own a duplex down in San Antonio. I probably have one of the best property managers in the entire world because she takes good care of me. I already know what I'm going to expect to on a return. If there's a item that needs to be fixed or repaired, she has my good graces to say, just do it, Cindy. I know when tenants come in and go, I am able to review their applications with Cindy. Anything that I need to have done, she just takes care of it. And so I can sleep at night, even though I'm thousands of miles away from this duplex in San Antonio. So again, you have to kind of decide, am I okay to not be there physically, or do I need to be there? Neither is right or wrong. It's just your own personal taste and personal preference.
Yeah, I've experienced that when we had some rental property, and it was we were absentee landlords. So it was in Central California, and we were in Denver. And that was stressful on top of the risk tolerance. And then I'm an absentee landlord, and we get all these phone calls. And it could be something silly. The light bulb is out.
Yeah.
Well, change it.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to pay for that? I'll deduct 39 cents from them.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are important factors to consider. And in your opinion, well, I know you do both.
Sure.
So let's. So where do you think the highest rate of return would be? Would it be owner occupied or absentee owner?
Couple of things. One thing in Southern Utah right now that you don't want to do is buy a duplex. Now, when I first moved here in 92, I wish I could buy as many duplexes that I could and wanted to and should have, because I get two incomes, one loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you fast forward to the number of duplexes that are available per year, Michael, it's less than five for the entire year.
Oh my gosh.
And so when you see them priced, they're priced so high that you can't make a good rate of return or a rate of return at all. You might be running in the red. Wow. And then if you're doing that, then you're betting on down the road that the appreciation value is going to be your rate of return, and not necessarily on a monthly based upon the income that you're going to get from your tenant. So that's just one thing. Don't mean to digress, but
just
to make mention of. So on the owner or on-site versus not on-site, again, I believe it's dependent upon what the person wants to do. Most of the time, all of the time, it really is this way. On-site, in the area, I live here, I can go to the property, I can see the property, I can talk to the tenants, I can visit with the tenants, I can see if the lawn needs to be done, whatever that might be. I feel like my asset is better protected with me being there and being able to talk face-to-face rather than somebody absentee. And again, I use that caveat with this gal in Texas, but most oftentimes the property managers are not doing their inspections. They're not checking to make sure that the place is taken care of. And then the tenant moves out and the place looks like just absolute mess.
That was kind of our experience.
Was that?
It was. It was an adventure in real estate.
Oh boy,
one might say. So
that's a been there, done that. Got the T-shirt. No thanks.
Yeah, in fact, it's under the shirt.
Oh, right? Under the tropical shirt. That's right.
That's right. The tropical shirt. So yeah, I know we got a lot of different loan programs out there for owner occupied, non owner occupied, commercial, stuff like that. So, and I'm guessing that you're able to guide a prospective buyer into the loan program that would best suit their needs at the time. So for example, like if somebody says, Bob, this is going to be short term, like maybe 5 years versus I'm going to be here for 30 years, maybe an ARM would be better than a fixed rate. I don't know.
Right.
What do you think?
Thank you. Uh-huh. And again, folks, let's get real on this. Not every bank and mortgage company are the same. There is a variety of different loan programs that company A might have, that B doesn't, that C does, that G doesn't. And so you need to shop your loan and what program that you're going to find best suited for you. And Michael, I agree that the adjustable rate programs are actually pretty darn good, especially if your hold time is only 3 years or less. If you do an adjustable, then in 3 years you will have saved more money by doing the adjustable than no matter what the fixed rate was going to do. So over 3 years, then it gets a little bit iffy with the adjustable maybe having an impact on fixed and the overall pricing. But for 3 years, adjustable is a great way to go. period. On conventional loans, that's good for a second home. So never as a buyer, if you don't have any other properties, don't go into saying to a lender, "I'm buying an investment property." No, you're buying a second home. That's what you want to convey, and that means that, hey, you can use it. You can live in it. You don't have to. You can rent it out. You can have it as a vacation rental if it's properly zoned. But don't go in on an investment property because your interest rate's going to be higher. Your down payment's going to be higher because they see you as a potential higher risk. We don't want you into that particular situation or position. So again, shop around. I have some great contacts with lenders here that I know where to send for a vacant lot loan or an apartment complex loan or a business loan or commercial loan or residential. But again, it's not all the same.
So how does the geographic location of the property affect the viability of the investment?
I think the first question on my test back in 1992 was, what is the most important part of buying real estate? And location, location, location. As an investor, if I'm going to be renting out a particular property, I have to remember that. And I have to follow it. So as a, for instance, if I'm renting out something in Tocqueville, Laverkin, Pine Valley, Central, those rent rates are going to be less than average because of location, location, location. You have to have a convenience factor for your tenants. No matter if they're older, younger, married, separated, divorced, whatever it might be, the convenience factor ties in with location, location, location. And so you have to have both of those in place to get your highest possible rate of return as a landlord from your tenant. If it's out in the boondocks or just simply not a convenient factor, you'll be on a B list or a C list of potential tenants that will look. They'll look elsewhere. And if they can't find anything, then they'll branch out to, well, maybe we'll go a little further away. Maybe we'll, but it's not ideal for them.
Yeah. So how are you going to help me make an informed decision here, Bob? There's so much that I have to know. So how are you going to help me out here since I don't know what I'm doing?
Great question. And again, folks, and Michael, let's get real with this. You have to have an educated realtor that is working in your behalf, that is not afraid of giving you the facts, giving you the possibilities, the risks, the negatives involved, the potential pitfalls, potential concern for what the tenants are doing or going to do. Are they moving out in a month? And you need to be aware of that so that you can be prepared to bring another one on. All of these different factors that are there that you need to listen. And so, yeah, Michael, I do take a notepad with me in meeting with people, and I jot down a ton of notes. But then I also want to make sure that they're well communicated with what is reality and what is potentially just hearsay or just simply not going to happen, so that they have the proper expectations. So then they can make a proper, educated, and informed decision. And I will have said, I have done my job. I feel totally comfortable in what I've advised them with. What they do with it is certainly up to them.
Yeah. So how do you stay informed with all this stuff? I mean, you're out there every single day.
Exactly.
I guess that's the main thing.
It's an eat, drink, and sleep business. And if you're not out in the presence of the market on a daily basis, it's so easy to become detached from it that you don't know where things are at. If it's going up, if it's going down, what in the world is that dirt being moved for? What's going to be out there? You have to be anticipative of what is soon to come as well as what's here. But also, Michael, what has happened? Because that way you have enough experience to say, well, back in 2001, folks, this is how the market was. That's very similar to what we're experiencing now. Let's take a look at that, what that looked like at that time, and see if that's playing similarity to the market that we're in right now. So there's a variety of different things to work with, but you got to have the education. If you're working with somebody that just has a few weeks, a few months, a few, even 1 or 2 years in the business, they don't know how to counsel you. I'm sorry to say that. I don't mean to diss on my other colleagues, but folks, if you really want to know what's happening, I can tell you exactly what the market's going to be doing in 5 months, 6 months, 3 years, 2 years, 10 years, because of what I've seen in 32 years. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying I eat, drink, and sleep this. And it just, my dog barks at me because I'm not home enough. And so she's not quite sure who's walking through the front door because I'm coming home so late. But I gather that information because I would feel awful if I'd not provided that to my particular client.
So if I get a realtor who tells me that, you know, Michael, you need to buy this like right now because the properties are appreciating at 10 to 15%. And interest rates are going to be 3% in 4 months. That's probably a red flag that they're not really, A, being completely honest with me.
Right.
Number two, they are not informed. They don't really know what they're talking about.
Strike
and
two.
Maybe they just need to sell me a house so they can make a car payment.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's a shame.
Yeah.
But honestly, Michael, it's true. And I've seen that happen with other colleagues within our industry. And it's disgusting. It just is pathetic to think that's, I need to make my house payment. So buy from me today. I don't care what I'm going to show you. Just darn it, sign on the dotted line. I'm sure that I'll find something. And when you buy it and you absolutely hate it, guess what? I will have made my house payment. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I feel better now.
That's awful. Yeah. I hate to say that. Even just cringes just thinking about that.
So I know also that you are very well informed about business sales, commercial property, things like that. Tell me a little bit about that.
So there's a variety of different things that you deal with when a business is involved. You have real property in which the business is in. That real property could be a lease, or the owner of the business may own the building that it's in. So there's a couple, three different scenarios just out the gate. You also have financials that you're providing to a potential buyer. They're looking at the books, so to speak, to see if, quote unquote, it pencils out. And oftentimes, though, that's a statement that can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. If it pencils out, because everybody's pencil is a little bit different in what they observe to see as being a quality business. I'll tell you one thing: I've got a business available here in St. George, and as example, there's no real property available. It is the business. This business has been operating successfully, Michael, for 30 years. 30
oh
years
gosh.
By the same owners that have been in the same place for 30 years and had an absolutely phenomenal business during that time. Okay, they're retiring. It's called grandkids, great-grandkids, sleep in a little bit, maybe have weekends. This has been a very ongoing, very active business, and they're just at an age to say, you know what? We want to throttle back. We're done. Let's have somebody now take over that business for the next 30 years or however many years that they want to. So as I've been marketing to buyers and saying, hey, you got to take a look at this opportunity. This is great. They'll say, well, what's my bottom line? I said, well, what do you want it to be? And they don't understand. They want to look at what the past has shown. I understand a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But then they don't look at what the future could be. They don't realize that maybe the seller hasn't been as involved in social media. Maybe they don't understand that our population is absolutely busting at the seams. So new clientele and customers will be knocking on their door, calling them on their phone, and texting them for orders. Maybe they don't understand that the baby boomer business, or I shouldn't say business, but people are getting older and they're starting to die. This is a floral business. You'd be flowers at the mortuary, flowers at the gravesite. So this is something that is ongoing that should take off for a particular buyer that's just running it as a great business. It just almost runs automatically. But instead, these buyers look at and say, how much per widget do I make? What's my cost per widget to make? And I'm like, it's a different day. Every day is different. Memorial Day weekend, you're going to be making bank. On some other weeks, not so much. But you've got certain accounts that you can follow through with. And again, people are just like, oh, really? I have to work? I really have to be there probably?
Yeah.
And you're like, probably be a good idea.
So I'm going to ask you this question. So let's say you've got this business, been successful for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're doing something right.
Yeah.
So let's say that I come along and I say, you know what? I want to buy this business. And I know after I've looked at the expenses and the income and blah, 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 I know that the expected net revenue should be right around here.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people walk in and see that and just think, okay, well, I'm automatically going to make that much money every year because that's what it's done for 30 years. And they just think of it as, this is like free money. You know, I mean, in your experience, when a new owner, when a new buyer takes over a business like that, does it usually, do they usually, are they more successful? Do they stay right where they are, or do they become less successful because of their different modus operandi, so to speak, the way they run the business?
Very fair question, Michael. And again, folks, let's get real with regards to this. As people are looking at making this purchase, this particular business is $250,000. $250,000 for a 30-year established business is dirt cheap.
Yeah.
It just is not that much. You get some training involved so that when you're on your own and the sellers have kind of stepped away full-time, they can still be called, but as you get your training and you need to get your feet wet, roll up your sleeves and dig in and find out opportunities, like I've mentioned before, that would provide more income for your future and say, well, that was a great bottom line for them in 2021. I'm going to kill it and go 13%, 10%, 3% more than what they did in 22, 23, and now I'm into 24. And my guess is that by 2030, I'll have this amount of return.
Yeah, I think some people, they purchase a business, maybe they start a business or they purchase a business, and they look at it as a printing press for money.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, roll it out.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I got that my eye on that Bugatti over there, and I should have that by Thursday.
No, in today's life and today's society, there's another four-letter word, and it's awful. It's called work.
Oh, my God.
And people, when you say that number, or that, excuse me, say that word, they're like, oh, you swore. And like, no, it's actually something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work for what we receive, and we have to work hard. If we work harder, we get a little bit more. If we don't work, we could be in a bad way.
Well, let's just keep working then.
Now, in answer to your question, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
51 people have expressed interest in this business, have received financials, and many of them have met with me and the owner. Only two were really well qualified as to looking at the potential of the future business. Everybody else just wanted to be taking the money and run every single month. And I'm sorry, I felt bad that I was even trying to talk to these people because they had no sense of what a business ownership means.
So I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit here.
Sure.
So you don't have to tell me the name of the business,
okay,
but I'm guessing it's here in Southern Utah?
It's in Southern Utah, yes,
so
sir.
So what does this business sell? Just tell me the product or service.
It's a floral business.
Oh.
Yeah. So anything dealing with the floral industry, that's what they have under their roof.
I would think that would be a great business. Oh, well, hence your example earlier about baby boomers who are transitioning into the next state of existence.
Yes.
And their loved ones want to buy flowers for the farewell ceremony,
right,
so to speak.
Exactly.
I think that's a great business.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It doesn't, I mean, there are days where it'll be a little bit slower, but the industry is not going downhill.
No.
This is still a product of tradition, of boutonniere for the kid taking the gal to the junior prom and then her wrist corsage and whatever else it might be. Flowers are still very popular. They can save people's lives because when received, it could make the person's entire day from being in the slums and the drunks and the depression to being like, wow, somebody really cares about me. I'm going to live another day.
Yeah, well, I hope that goes well for you.
Me too.
Is it? It's still the business is still
it
for
is sale.
Sale.
Yeah,
so
it is available.
Without divulging the name of the business, if somebody's interested in that, they can just give you a call, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 435-703-8824 is my cell phone number. Give me a call or text, and then my email address, Michael, is bob@buyutah.com, which is BUYUTAH.com.
Cool. Hey, before we head on down the road, I know that you have a really great listing to show us today, don't you?
I have this affordable home that is just phenomenally, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. I think Sean's going to throw it on the board there. Oh, there it is.
Okay, so we're on Main Street in Hurricane. Now, this is the south part of Main Street, which is a very much a destination area location. hardly any traffic up and down except for the residents are down another street or two. Has a main level and a finished basement to it. This has a main level family room area, fireplace there that's in the corner. All of the rooms are big. This is a late 70s home. Has a large kitchen that the sellers have updated and done some great things with.
Yeah.
Shows really well that way. You get into the next room, and this is a double, or actually could be a triple office where you got three places for three desks that are available there. It has storage on both sides. So if you had a home business of some sort, ding, ding, you got place for you and a place for your assistant or secretary or spouse. Downstairs, this has a fully finished basement. This is the family room downstairs. It has storage galore, as most basements do. I grew up with a home with a basement. That was just kind of tradition in Salt Lake that you always had a home with a basement.
Yeah.
So we had room for our fruit storage and other things, and our skis and our snowmobiles, and not our snowmobiles, but our snowshoes. There we go. That I was trying to get to. Yeah, sorry, the snowmobiles would be just a little bit too big.
Did that have a two-car garage or a carport?
It had a carport. Yeah, very easily converted into a garage. It would not take very much to turn that into a two-car garage. Price on this is $529,500.
Really?
And it's almost 3,400 square feet. 3,400 square feet.
That's huge.
That's big at a very low price.
And it'll appreciate a 15%
per
year.
There you go. There you go. Not.
Sorry, I just had to throw a little real estate humor there, guys.
We need it.
Yeah, no, that I think that's a beautiful listing.
Thank you.
I love that office.
It really is nice, isn't it?
My goodness.
Yeah, you could do some great good there without having to lease a space and spending money on a lease space where you just have it at home.
That's on Main Street?
On Main Street and Hurricane.
So would that be, could it be zoned commercial as well as residential?
Unfortunately not. I mean, you couldn't put a sign out in front that says Michael's Music.
Yeah.
It would have to be something that you would just do on your own, but not advertise out of the home. So you can run a home business out of that house. You just can't advertise it with some sort of a monument or sign or we're open kind of thing that has to be on the QT.
Got it. Well, Bob, thank you so much for a great show today.
It's been a good one.
How can someone get a hold of you? I know you announced it earlier,
but tell us
your website, your phone number, if somebody's interested in that listing in Hurricane.
Absolutely. And folks, there's no dumb questions when it comes to real estate. So please feel free to call me and talk with me and ask any question that you want to. I will not laugh. I will be glad to be of help and answer your questions in any way, shape, or form, but it'll always be honest, upfront, and professional. Here's my number, 435-703-8824. That's 435-703-8824. My website, buyutah.com. That's BUYUTAH.com. Bob at BuyUtah is my email address.
Bob Richards and Associates, Berkshire Hathaway Residential Properties, right here in St. George, Utah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
I'll see you guys again next time with another episode of
Let's Get Real.
Let's Get Real. I was a little cue there.
This has been Let's Get Real with Bob Richards from Bob Richards & Associates. For more information, buyutah.com. We invite you to return again for another edition of Let's Get Real with Bob Richards from Bob Richards & Associates. This has been a production of One to One Network.